Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. It's hard to believe that Tedeschi Trucks Band has only been around for 6 years because they're the kind of group that sounds permanent. The blues, rock, and soul juggernaut released its third album, Let Me Get By, in January, and it quickly earned popular and critical praise. And if it's summer, it means Derek Trucks, widely considered one of the greatest guitarists in the world, is on the road. Trucks joined the Allman Brothers Band as a teen, and has toured and collaborated with a who's who of the music industry in the years since. Tedeschi Trucks Band is bringing its Wheels of Soul tour to our region for several shows. July 10th at the Green River Festival in Greenfield, Mass., the 13th at Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and the 20th at Bethel Woods. Derek Trucks, welcome to the Roundtable.
Good to be here.
I want to go back to the beginning of your current band, Tedeschi Trucks Band. Why did you guys decide to join forces?
You know, we have been talking about it really since we first met. But I think a lot of it was just timing, and we were pretty deep into our solo bands when before we put this band together. And I think we both got to a point where we were ready to try something different, and it just seemed like the time was right. You know, when the window opens, you got to jump through it.
Did you both kind of agree on what you wanted it to sound like?
I mean, we had an idea, but, you know, I think we went into it knowing that in anything like this, it's gonna morph. You know, you can have these plans for it, and you can think that, you know, it's going to go a certain way, but you really have to follow it, especially when you put a lot of talented musicians in a room. It's going to kind of take on a life of its own. So, you know, one of the reasons we didn't keep our solo bands together is we didn't want to have that safety net to fall back on if it didn't immediately click, you know. So we wanted to make sure we made ourselves put in the time and effort and that we would see it through. So that was a big part of it, is if we were going to do it, we were going to actually really go in.
Did you guys consider it risky? I mean, who knows? Bands sometimes don't work out, but you guys have to go home together too.
Yeah, I mean, we did consider it risky. I mean, I think one of the reasons we waited 10 years, you know, I mean, we had been together for 10 years. We got married and had two kids, and then we were like, I think maybe we're ready to start a band together. So we didn't rush into it. We knew, and I think we instinctively knew that there would be parts of her fan base and parts of my fan base from our solo bands that would not be into it, and there was certainly a little bit of backlash in the beginning. But my thinking is if everybody likes it, you're probably not trying hard enough.
How come you guys decided to make the band as big as it is? I think it started around 8 people, and now it's up to 12 people. You two can perform and make great music, just the two of you, but why did you want to do a full band?
You know, I think you always, when you have a group together and you're writing tunes and working up tunes, you always think, wouldn't it be nice if we had a horn section, or if we had background singing? Especially when you're making records, you're always putting those things on albums or trying to manipulate the band that you have to make those sounds. And when we put this band together, we just figured, when we put our solo groups together, it wasn't an option to have more than 4 or 5 people, because you couldn't afford to do it or fit them in a van. So when we put this band together, we figured we would actually try to, you know, put your dream band together. You know, I knew I wanted to experiment with the two drummer thing, just having got out of the Allman Brothers, and even towards the end of that Clapton tour, he was using two drummers, and it's just an amazing sound. So that was something we knew going in, and then we wanted to experiment with background singers, even before a horn section. And part of that was I just wanted to continue to work with Mike Madison, who is such a great singer, and just conceptually he has so many ideas, and he's a great songwriter. So I wanted to keep that musical relationship going, and he was into the idea of doing the kind of the Gladys Knight and the Pips, you know, the male background singers behind a female vocalist. So we explored that, and then when we were able to actually put a horn section together and bring him on the road, that was kind of the last major piece. And then when Alicia Shakur came out, she really filled out the background section. It suddenly felt like a small choir when she jumped in. So it's in a good spot right now.
How do you approach your role? You produced the album that came out, Let Me Get By, in January, and a lot of people who come see you obviously are there for you, and then they get introduced to the rest of the band. So how do you see your role in the group?
You know, you have to, you have to navigate a lot of, you know, tricky turns. I mean, some of it is just being a band therapist, making sure all the personalities are working well together. And, you know, those are things you, over time, you get better and better at. You know, also figuring out when it isn't right, when you have to make a move and the personalities aren't right, or somebody's not into it, or their heart's not into it, or whatever it is. Sometimes you have to make those difficult decisions. But musically, it's really just about being able to read people and, pull the right strings at the right time, try to change up the material enough where everybody stays inspired. And then, you know, some of it is making sure you pass the ball around to get everybody involved in each and every show, or at least from one night to the next. You know, different people are getting featured on different nights. So I think that keeps the whole thing vibrant, you know. But you also have to make sure that you do your thing as well. So it's a balance. But I really enjoy that part of it. With this band, you never really get a chance to fall into any kind of rut, because you're there's a lot of things to think about. There's a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm. And you guys play so many dates. I was thinking about this getting ready to talk to you. When's the last time you had a summer off?
I can't remember a summer off. You know, it was when I was, I had to be 9 or 10 years old when I had a summer off.
And you've been in this lifestyle basically ever since.
Yeah, you know, and summertime is when you go. And before, it was because I was in school, and you know, summertime you could tour hard, and so we would get out. And then now that we have kids, summertime is the time that we can bring the family on the road and really hit it hard. So we don't slow down much. I mean, that's definitely one of the that's one of the challenges of having a 12-piece band, is you have to work. You know, you can't, you know, to make sure that at the end of the year, everybody makes a living wage. You got to do some shows. So, that's something that we knew going into it, and something we're lifers. You know, we've been around people like, whether it's the Allman Brothers or being on tour with someone like B.B. King or Willie Nelson. It's like, this is what you do. As long as you're inspired by it and love playing the music, the other parts just kind of fall into place.
Are your children musical?
A bit. I mean, they listen all the time. My daughter's always singing. My son dabbles. He plays a little bit here and there. He tries to hide it from me, but I know he's doing it. So they're into other things. My son's a baseball player, and my daughter's into horses, and so they stay busy. They have their own agendas, too.
Is there one person you've learned the most from? You know, someone famous, maybe someone not famous?
I mean, there's been quite a few along the way. You know, Colonel Bruce Hampton, I met when I was maybe 11, 12, somewhere in there. He turned me on to some really amazing music, really amazing books, just kind of an attitude and a way to think about being a musician. And so he was a big influence. You know, other people I've played with along the way, Jimmy Herring has been a great friend and influence. I mean, some of the guys in the band I play with, being on the road with Clapton, you learn something about longevity and professionalism and, you know, being there on time and being there with your head straight. And, you know, you always keep your eyes and ears open. And, you know, being on tour with someone like B.B. King, I mean, he was 80-something years old, and we were touring with him, and he was just such a gentleman to the end. I mean, I mean, we were, you know, we're an up-and-coming band, but BB treated us like we had known him for 100 years, and he really would go out of his way every day to make you feel like you were not only welcome, but he was an amazing, humble person right to the end. So you learn a lot from people like that. I mean, we run into a lot of musicians on the road, and sometimes you meet people, and they have this sense that you know, what they're doing is maybe more important than it really is. And then you meet someone like BB, and you're like, that's how you put it in perspective. You don't need, the attitude doesn't have to come with it.
Do you miss being in the Allman Brothers band? I don't think the band's officially broken up or anything, but it's kind of a who knows how long hiatus.
You know, I don't miss it. It was time. You know, when I joined, I mean, it was something I never thought that opportunity would come up. And, you know, it was a complete honor and getting to play with Dickie for that first year and then the band for 15 total. I mean, I never thought I would do it for 2-5 years tops, but, you know, 10-15, it was an amazing run, but I was ready to move on. I mean, it was, you know, it was an established thing long before I got there, and there was only so much you could really do with it after a certain point, especially if you're not writing music and making records together and moving forward. And you know, I was ready to step away. And you know, a band like that, it's such a roller coaster. I mean, there's a lot of personalities, and there's a lot of drama, and there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of ups and downs with that, the whole career of that band. And you know, sometimes those clouds start, you feel like they start following you. So I was when it ended, I thought it ended on an amazing high note, but I was ready to step away for sure.
What do you hope the future will be for Tedeschi Trucks Band?
You know, it's in a pretty amazing spot right now. I mean, you can there's an energy with the audiences that I haven't really felt up to this point, really with any band I've been in, where it feels like it's a living, breathing thing. And you know, I don't really see the limit. I don't see the ceiling yet, musically or otherwise. So it's fun being a part of something like that. I mean, I hope we can just keep it moving and vibrant. Not a lot of music going on right now that's really trying to do it the right way and not just rehashing things that have been done for 40 years. I mean, there's a lot of bands out there. It feels like they're just kind of cashing in on something that was done. And I feel like this band, and there's definitely a handful of others. I mean, we're touring with North Mississippi All-Stars, Los Lobos, which is a very real, living, breathing band. Bands like the Wood Brothers, and there's some bands out there, but I feel like it's kind of a lost art, people actually going out there and laying it on the line and trying to do something and make original music and keep it moving. So I just hope we can keep that rolling, you know, for however long we can keep it inspired. You know, there's not a lot of career goals outside of just keeping it healthy and breathing and moving forward.
One more question for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars haven't been in the playoffs since 2007. Are they going to be any good this year?
I think they're going to be better. I've given up getting too excited preseason. we had a good offseason, but it's been a long time. I mean, my son is 14 now, and we've been season ticket holders for really since the first year. My dad had tickets, and I took him over more than a decade ago. So he's gone, and he's been a super fan, but I don't think they've won 15 games total in the last 5-6 years. So he's seen a lot of losses in that stadium. So if they hit 500, it's going to feel like the Super Bowl. So we have, the bar is low. I think we can get over it this year, but we'll see. If we're sniffing 500, we'll be I will call it a win.
Well, if they get to 9-7 and make the playoffs, Tedeschi Trucks Band should do the national anthem, don't you think?
You know, I will work on that. Susan Susan's done the anthem in that stadium once, and it was their only home win that year. They beat the Titans. So the coach came up afterwards and was like, "We need you back." I think you do.
Tedeschi Trucks Band will be in Greenfield, Massachusetts for the Green River Festival July 10th, July 13th at Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and July 20th at Bethel Woods. Derek Trucks, thank you so much, and I can't wait for the show.
Beautiful. Thank you, man. We'll see you around.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.